We'll begin reading in Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 5. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." And then we will continue verses 16, and I will read through 28. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, "Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "Say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lay your beasts, and go, get you unto the land of Canaan. And take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now, thou art commanded, this do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. And regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours." And the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, "See that ye fall not out by the way." And they went up out of Egypt, and came unto the land of Canaan, unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, "Joseph is yet alive, and he is the governor of over all the land of Egypt." And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die."
To us to preach the word of God, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would move in this service, that he would move in my heart, in the hearts of and lives of all of us here this morning. Father, that we would be drawn closer to you. We would be more sensitive to the work and to the leading and to the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God. Father, wherever we're at in our lives today, would you meet us there? And would you help us to grow and to go forward in our walk with you? And Father, if there's someone here this morning that is not saved, I do pray for their salvation. Father, I pray that you would challenge our hearts with this passage of Scripture, with what you've given to us here as we've studied this passage. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot going on here in this story. How many of you know the story of Joseph? Okay, Joseph was, his brothers envied him. Joseph had received a coat of many colors from his father. He was his youngest son there of his father. His father loved him because he was his youngest son. He made him a coat of many colors, and Joseph had that coat of many colors. And his brothers, seeing that their father loved Joseph more than them, that they did not like Joseph. Joseph has a dream. And Joseph tells his brothers the dream. And in the dream there, Joseph talks about the sheaves and how the sheaves would bow down before him. And Joseph's brothers hated him for his dream. And then Joseph has another dream. And the dream is a little more detailed. But the Bible tells us that Joseph's brothers hated him even more. And then the time comes where Joseph's brothers have taken their father's flock, and they're feeding their father's flock. And now Joseph's father calls him and says, "Hey, I want you to go and see how your brothers are doing." So he sends Joseph on an errand to go to visit his brothers, to get report, to see how they're doing. And so he goes out to find his brothers. He gets to the first place and they're not there. And he's kind of wandering around. What am I to do? What's next? And when that happened, there was a man that saw him. He talked with Joseph and he said, I heard them say that they're going to such and such a place. So Joseph left there and went to seek his brothers. So now Joseph is approaching the place where his brothers are supposed to be, and he sees his brothers, his brothers see him coming afar off. And as they see Joseph, they immediately start conspiring, we need to get rid of this guy. They hated their brother Joseph, and they're desiring to kill him. So when Joseph comes to them, they take that coat of many colors off of him, and they take Joseph, and they throw him down into a pit. Now, there's quite a bit more that I'm leaving out in this story that's just not necessary for where we're going this morning. But they put Joseph down in that pit after they stripped him of the coat of many colors. And Joseph being in that pit, the Bible tells us that his brothers, they sat down to eat bread. In the church, what we could see later on, and we may read that verse, but later on, the Bible talks about Joseph's brothers, how they heard Joseph. Joseph's there in the pit, and Joseph's crying out. And you can imagine Joseph there in the pit saying, Simeon, come on, get me out of here. Judah, don't do this to me. Reuben, please, please, someone, get me out of here. But his cries fell on deaf ears. And then the Ishmaelites come by and they decide that they're going to sell their brother to the Ishmaelites. And they did so. And the Ishmaelites, they took Joseph down to Egypt. And Joseph gets down to Egypt. He's bought by Potiphar, and he begins to work for Potiphar. The Lord blessed Potiphar's house because of Joseph. And now Joseph is a very important man there. Joseph has a situation there involving Potiphar's wife. Joseph goes to jail. He's there in prison, and God works in that. Joseph's taking out of prison, and now Joseph is the second most powerful man in all of Egypt. A lot has gone on in Joseph's life. 20 years have passed. There is a famine in the land. Death is coming. A famine is coming, and there's going to be, a famine's in the land, and death is coming. And so something has to happen here. Joseph's brothers are with their dad. Dad says, I've heard that there's corn in Egypt. Go to Egypt. Buy corn that we may eat and not die. So the brothers go to Egypt, and lo and behold, they have an encounter with Joseph, but they do not realize it's Joseph. In 20 years, someone can change. Is that not right? You look at our prayer card, it's older than 20 years, but our first prayer card, we look a lot different, especially me. I look a lot different than our first prayer card. People change over the years. He had changed in those 20 years. He is now speaking the Egyptian language. He had adopted the Egyptian culture. He is living and serving in that. And so when his brothers come, they do not recognize him. And the Bible also tells us that Joseph made it hard. He made it strange. He made himself strange unto them. But he gets there. His brothers are there, and he accuses them of being spies. He says, this is what we're going to do. You guys say that you're not spies. You have a younger brother. We're going to send one of you home to get your younger brother while the other ones stay here. And when he comes back with a brother, we'll get this all sorted out. And so as they're put there in the ward, the very next day, Joseph says, we're not going to do it that way. This is the way we're going to do it. We're going to keep one of you here, and we're going to send the rest of you away. And so that's what happened. They go, the story continues here, but we get to chapter 45. And what has just happened right before this, Benjamin has come. They're all there. Now they leave, and Joseph has put his cup in Benjamin's sack. So they're leaving, and as they leave, they just get a little bit away. Joseph calls his servants, and he says, I want you to go and overtake them, and I want you to say, hey, why have you stolen something from our master? So basically, that's what happens. And you imagine the donkeys there with the siren. and they're going after him. They stop the brothers there on their donkeys. They get down, they take their sacks, and they open up the sacks, and the cup is found in Benjamin's sack. I remind you that 20 years ago, they were not concerned about Joseph. But right now, they're concerned about Benjamin. They're going to take Benjamin and they're, no. We're all going back. We've got to get this settled because we're not going back home without Benjamin. So they all go back and they have this revelation here in chapter 44 and chapter 45. So there are the brothers there and they're pleading their case with Joseph. And Judah says to him, listen, he's getting closer to Joseph and he says, listen, I cannot go back home and see the evil that will befall my father if I go back home and my brother Benjamin's not with him. Take me instead. You imagine Joseph, his heart now is about to burst. He realizes that his brothers have changed. These are not the same guys completely that they were 20 years ago. And so Joseph, in chapter 45, as we've read here, Joseph in the Egyptian language is, get out of here. Váyanse de aquí, váyanse, váyanse. That's in Spanish. Leave, leave. Everyone get out of here. And the brothers are looking around. Everybody's moving. And now Joseph is left alone with his brothers. And Joseph says something to them. This is the first time in over 20 years that they're hearing Joseph's voice in their own language. He says to them, I am Joseph. What a tremendous revelation. And they were perplexed and they didn't know what to do. And Joseph says, come near, look, it's me, it's Joey. I'm Joseph, the one that you sold into Egypt. And now they understand that this is Joseph. He has knowledge of something that they did that no one else knew about. In church, when we think about that moment just for a few minutes this morning, that in that moment, they realize that this man, the second most powerful man in all that area, that man, that their lives hang in the balance. That he has the power to take him out. But also at that same time, they realize we're not murderers. Because when you read through this passage of Scripture, you'll find time and time again, they believed that Joseph was dead and that they were responsible. They had been living with that for over 20 years. But now with those words, I am Joseph, they realize that this man, this powerful man, is their brother, that he has knowledge of what they did, but that Joseph is calling them unto him. He says, I am Joseph. And then immediately he wants to know if his father was alive. Joseph, later on in the passage of Scripture, the Bible tells us that he's hugging his brothers and he's weeping on their shoulder and they're weeping together. And his brother Benjamin, can you imagine that? His brother Benjamin, and he's hugging him and he's weeping with his brother Benjamin. And things now are exciting because they're like, wow, Joseph is alive. This is a great day. We're not murderers and everybody's happy. But church, I want to remind you something this morning. They knew that Joseph was alive. They knew that Joseph was Lord of the land. And they knew that Joseph had lots, that he had provision. But the people back in Canaan were still in darkness. Joseph is going to have his brothers go to another country with the gospel of Joseph. Are you with me this morning? He is going to send them to another country with the gospel to Joseph to say, Dad, Joseph is alive. Dad, Joseph is Lord. Dad, Joseph has lots in this time of famine. He has everything we need and then some. So while Joseph's brothers know the truth about him, his father, Jacob, is still in the dark. He doesn't know that he's alive, so someone must go and tell Israel or Jacob the good news of Joseph. But who will go? And this becomes the center of the mission. Someone must bring this vital message of provision, life, and salvation to Jacob. So Joseph is going to send his brothers to another country to carry the gospel, the good news of Joseph. Joseph desires that his fathers and all others, that they would know that he's alive, that he's Lord, that he has provision. And he desires for them to come to him so that he might bless them with his mercy and their goodness. You see, the brothers here are given a tremendous responsibility. And who wouldn't want to share such a life-changing message? The message they have is going to change the life of their father. It's going to change the lives of the folks around there. Who wouldn't want such a wonderful, wonderful message or mission as such as the brothers are receiving? Years ago, one of my mentors and one of the men that I go to get counsel, he gave me a book. It's called Lone Survivor. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, and I'm not saying everything about the book's good. There's some issues with the book, but it's a story of one survivor of a Navy SEAL team. And it mentions there in the book, being the only survivor, that when he got back to the United States, that he went to the homes of his SEAL mates. And I couldn't imagine pulling up in front of the house, getting out of the car, walking up the sidewalk and knocking on the door, knowing the message that I have is, I regret to inform you that your husband has died in the performance of his duty. Now, they already knew, but still, to go through that act, that official act of doing that, would break our hearts. But the message that you and I have today, church, the message that Joseph's brothers had was a different message. It was a tremendous message. We get to go to a lost and dying world and tell them, hey, Jesus is alive. And not too long ago, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday, that up from the grave he arose. Jesus is alive, church. He's alive. And when we go to Colombia and Argentina and Mexico and other countries of Latin America, we can go and tell them, listen, we have a wonderful, a tremendous message. It is that Jesus is alive. And not only that Jesus is alive, but Jesus is Lord. And not only that he's Lord, but that he has lots. Jesus has salvation for whosoever will. The brothers have been given a tremendous mission to go and to give the gospel of Joseph in another country. And so as we look at that this morning, Joseph is getting ready to send his brothers on this mission to another country with the gospel of Joseph. But he stops for a moment. He says this to them, see that ye fall not out by the way. Now, church, I know that the way that we talk today is different, but at the same time, it's very similar. Have you ever heard someone say, you know, well, they're not talking right now. They had a falling out. Joseph does not want his brothers to have a falling out on the way. So listen, you've got to get back to Canaan. You've got to tell Dad and others that I'm alive, that I'm Lord, and I have provision. I have what they need to live so that they do not die. So as we look at that, look at this morning, we're looking at not falling out by the way. See that ye fall not out by the way. First of all, this morning, there is the danger of losing focus, of losing vision of their mission. You see, the focus was to bring the good news. The focus of the brothers' mission was clear, was to carry the good news of Joseph. This was their singular task. But Joseph knows his brothers. He knows that they're not perfect, and their past together was full of conflict. And he's reminding them, hey, listen, fellas, you've got to get home. You've got to tell Dad, but listen, see that you fall not out by the way. Keep your vision. Keep your focus. There's always the danger of distraction. Joseph's brothers had a tendency to allow things to distract them in the past. So Joseph's words, see that ye fall not out by the way, were a firm reminder that the mission they were on was too important to let distractions derail them. When we were living in central Mexico, there was another missionary family in another part of the state. They gave our kids a golden lab. And for one reason or another, it ended up being my dog. Anybody identify with that? So this golden lab, we named her Dixie. And Dixie was my shadow. We had built a parsonage there at the church. One of the things when you're church planning, one of the major expenses for a church is the pastoral accommodations, housing. And so we made a parsonage there at the church so the national pastor can live rent free. And so it's a lot easier on the church. And we were living there in the parsonage at this time as we're there working at the church. And so here I walk out of the house. Dixie follows me. I walk down out the parking lot, and my office was at the front of the property, and it was up on the second story. We had just a small building, but it was the room on the second story, and I'd walk up the steps. Dixie would follow me. I'd get in my office, and I'd sit down, and I'd realize I forgot my coffee. So I'd go. I would say, Dixie, stay here. I'm going to be right back. But she didn't speak English. Went back down the steps, go to the house, I get my coffee, and she's following me all the way down. So as I'm getting my coffee, I say something to my wife, she plops down, and I'm just looking at the dog. Get my coffee, there she's following me again. She would follow me everywhere I go. It didn't matter how long she's sleeping and wiped out. It's if she heard my chair move, if she heard the door, she would up. She's following me. One day we're getting ready to leave the church property, and we had our vehicle parked inside the property. Have two big, they're called portones. They're big metal doors. And so I need to open the doors, but I didn't want to open the doors without locking Dixie up in the back, because if there was an animal going by, she would want to take off. So I'm Dixie! Dixie! And she's not coming. I'm like, what's wrong with this dog? So I would get a little work, walk out a little bit further, Dixie. And I get out to the parking lot and I find our dog, Dixie. There was a butterfly. And she's there. Following the butterfly. She had become distracted because of a butterfly. Church, the truth of the matter is that we're easily distracted by our butterflies today. The Lord has given us a mission where we're to tell people that He's alive, that He's Lord, and He has provision, He has salvation for all. There's the danger of losing focus, of losing the vision of their mission. I would imagine this morning, many of you remember the old cameras where you did this. It didn't have the autofocus. It's not like our phones today where you just pick it up. We had to focus it. And that's how missions is. There is no autofocus. We're the ones that need to keep our focus, to keep our vision. There's no autofocus when it comes to doing the Lord's work in His harvest. You and I must understand the danger of distraction that will cause us to lose focus and to lose vision of what we are commanded to do. The Great Commission calls us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. So we must keep that focus, to keep our vision on the Great Commission. When we were living in Argentina, at the time we had Kimberly and Jessica, they're just basically toddlers at that time. We didn't have a vehicle, so when I would walk downtown to go grocery shopping or to pick a few things up for the store for my wife, I'd say, okay, I'm going to be right back. And my girls would go, Dad, we want to go with you. Dad, we want to go with you. Dad, we... And I'd say, look, if you go with me, you've got to walk. Okay, Dad, we'll walk. We'll walk. Yeah, you know how that goes. We get out of the house. We walk around the corner. We get down there. Papi, quiero upa. In Argentine language, that would be, Papi, I want you to pick me up. Dad, I want you to pick me up. And I'm looking at him like, I told you, but okay. So now I got my two girls and I'm walking with my girls as we're going downtown. And the construction dumpsters, I tell people this just to scare people, but the construction dumpsters, when I would walk by the construction dumpsters with my two girls, I would walk over to it and I'd go like this. They never freaked out. They never did this. They just, Dad, you love us too much to throw us away. It's still true. So I'm walking down and I notice as I'm looking at the signs, now I know what the signs say because I've read them many times before, but little by little I'm noticing that I've got to get closer and closer to see the sign because it's harder to see. It's blurry. And this went on for a little bit, and finally I went to the eye doctors, and I got in there, and she did the examination, and then she asked me, she said, did you drive here? And I said, no. She said, good. Wasn't that bad. But when I got glasses, these were just readers, but when I got glasses, and I put those glasses on, it's like, wow. Remember that, how that was? It's like, wow. It was like from black and white to color. When you lose vision, usually it happens over a period of time. Joseph's brothers are going to travel back home. And Joseph knows that it's very easy for them, as for us, to lose focus, to lose vision. So he says to them, hey, the trip back home, it's going to take a while to get back there. Fellas, listen. Do not fall out by the way. You've got to keep your vision. You've got to keep your focus. In life, there are so many things that can distract us, causing us to lose focus. When we were studying Spanish in Colombia, we experienced an earthquake. We didn't have a lesson that day, praise the Lord, amen? But we're there in our apartment, and it's getting time to have our lesson, and we're like, okay, who's going to go first today, you or me? And just about that time, the apartment building starts to shake, and the higher you up you are, the more shaking there is. And so we're there, it's shaking back and forth, and you can't move, and water starts running all along the floor from the toilet moving in the sink, and the pictures are falling off the wall, and you're just waiting for this thing to stop. And when it finally stopped, and we're like, okay, we're getting out of here, and we're running out of here, there's cracks in the floor where you could see the we were on the seventh floor, you could see the sixth floor, didn't get in the elevator, we're going down the steps, and people are, and we're just getting out of the building. That's a distraction. I don't want to live where there are earthquakes. See that you fall not out, by the way. Living in central Mexico, we went out into the a mountain. It's a very rural area where, I mean, the towns, if you want to call it towns, they're villages. There's 50 people here, 75 there, maybe 150 there. Where you go, you park your car, you walk for another hour, and then you go across fallen tree logs in the river with your kids holding your suitcases. We get to an area there, and I don't know 100% for sure, but I'm pretty sure that somewhere along that in that trip, I got typhoid. I was so sick from typhoid. Laying in bed, I couldn't move. Your fever is so hot, you're sweating. The bed is wet from my sweat, but at the same time, I'm freezing. And I got to get up. I want to get into the shower to kind of knock the temperature down. But just to get out of bed, it took so long because everything hurt. And I didn't know if I was going to get back to the normal. But I'm back to my not so normal. But typhoid, I'm like, I don't want typhoid. Typhoid could be a distraction. See that ye fall not out by the way. Church, God has called us to get the gospel out around the world to every creature. And you and I must not lose our focus. We must not lose our vision. Jesus is alive. Jesus is Lord. And Jesus has salvation for whosoever will. There's the danger also of losing emphasis or the accent on the mission. Joseph commanded his brothers to go home and to tell dad that he was alive. And the emphasis ought to be that Joseph lives. The emphasis is so important. In English, how many of you say route or root? Route? Root? Okay. If someone says route to me, which usually that's what I say, I understand. If they say route 66, I understand it as well. But where you, the changes in Spanish are very important. Someone could say papa or papa, spelt exactly the same, but the accent's different. Papa or papa. The difference is between a potato and dad. Just where you put the accent. There you can have put, if you put the accent at the end of a word, it could mean past tense when you wanted to be present tense. So where you put the accent, where you put the emphasis, learning another language is very important. And Joseph says to his brothers, listen, this is an important mission. You've got to go home to dad and you've got to emphasize the fact that I am alive. There was a missionary years ago. The two words only begotten is a compound word in Spanish, and it's unigénito in Spanish. And this missionary would say unigénito, unigénito, and he would say unigénito. And when you're hearing it, like I mentioned in Sunday school, when the native speaking people hear it, they're like, where you put the accent, where you put the emphasis is so, so important. And the same is true in our mission to share the gospel. Our emphasis must remain on the fact that Joseph lives, or for us today, that Jesus lives. When we pass out a tract, when we talk maybe to a coworker, to a family member, when we're knocking on doors or talking with people, the emphasis is that Jesus is alive, that we have a Savior, that He is was victorious over the grave, that He's alive. So there is the potential for wrong emphasis. You notice that men emphasize what they believe is important. I mean, say it this way. Take two young couples in a church, for example. The one young couple invites the other young couple over to their home for a meal and just to fellowship. So the night comes and they drive over there and they get there and you get inside. Hey, how you doing? Great, great, great. And so the evening progresses and it's 10 o'clock at night. And a fella says, you know, I've got to get up early for work in the morning. You know, I'm going to have to call it a night. We'll go ahead and head home. And so they get in the car and he puts it in drive and he starts to pull away. And fellas, you probably know what's going to happen. Your wife's going to be talking the whole ride home. So she begins, hey, did you see this? Did you see that? Did you see how she had the house decorated? Did you see that? And the guy's thinking, the house decorated, knickknacks, color of the curtains. I remember the meatloaf and the green bean casserole and the biscuits. Is that not right? Because the woman, she emphasizes something, and the fella emphasizes something else. And that can happen with all of us. We can emphasize the wrong things, and Joseph didn't want his brothers to do that. Can you imagine, hypothetically, if the brothers get home, hey, Dad, how was your trip? Good. Everything good? Yep. I'm going to go take a shower, Dad. I'll be back in a while. The emphasis was to tell Dad, you get home, tell Dad, Joseph is alive, that I am alive. Church, that is the emphasis of our mission today. Oh, might all of us remember that the focus of our lives and our mission should be to emphasize the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to get the gospel out, emphasizing the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, that he lives, that he's a Lord, and that he has lots. We need to get the gospel out to a lost and dying world. Then there's also the lost riches. Joseph's brothers were going to be enriched by Pharaoh's gifts. These would be physical riches, but the real riches came in fulfilling their mission. Church, when we focus on Jesus and his mission, our lives become enriched in material, spiritual, and eternal ways. And so do the lives of those touched with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Personally speaking, it is such a blessing for me to be able to have friends in different countries. How many are familiar with WhatsApp? Okay, as missionaries, we use WhatsApp to communicate, and we can text and phone calls, and to get to talk with them. A very godly lady in our church, Sunday school teacher in our church for years that has just gone through it. She sent me an audio message yesterday about praying for us. Those are riches, church, that the world doesn't have. Those are riches that come when we forsake the things of the world and we keep our focus and our vision and our emphasis where God has called us to have them. They're the lost riches. And then, of course, there's those that'll be lost eternally. Joseph's warning to his brothers is also a warning for us today. He said, "See that ye fall not out by the way." So we have seen lost focus, lost emphasis, and lost riches. But we need to understand that there's something else that merits our attention. We must remember those that could be lost for all eternity if we fall out by the way. There's the provision for life. Joseph's family needed to know the truth so that they wouldn't perish. There was no need for anyone to perish. If you still have your Bible open to Genesis 45, Genesis 45, the Bible says this in verse 24, "So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, See that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted for he believed them not." Can you imagine the emotions that Dad is going through at that time? Here his brothers, or sons, a little more than 20 years later, they come back with him. But over 20 years ago, they had come home. "Dad, you see this coat? Do you recognize this coat? Is this the coat of your son? Do you recognize it?" Not caring about their dad and about his feelings, but now they're coming home and the message is totally different. It's not that Joseph is dead. It's that Joseph is alive. And they come and they say, Dad, listen, Joseph is alive. Joseph's brothers are doing what they're supposed to do. Joseph is alive and he's Lord, but their dad does not believe him. So what do they do? In verse 27 it says, "And they told him all the words of Joseph." Now there's an application here. You and I, when we go and we tell folks about Jesus Christ, and to give them the gospel, we tell them that, listen, Jesus is alive. And they may not believe us when we say that, but you know what we're to do? We're to continue to tell them all of Jesus' words. So they continue to tell Dad all of Joseph's words, and then something else happened. Look at the next part of the verse. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph has sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. He heard all the words of Joseph. He sees the wagons. He realizes this is true. And Joseph, my son Joseph, is alive. And the Bible says that his spirit revived. Can you imagine after 20 years thinking that his son was dead, grieving for his son? His sons and daughters had come to their father trying to get him to get over his grief, but he would not be comforted by them. But those 20 years have passed now. He understands that Joseph's alive and his spirit revived. Church, when someone has been living a life of sin for 20 years or been living in darkness for 20 years, and then yet the missionary or you and I, we get to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ and we say, Jesus is alive and Jesus is Lord and he has salvation for you this morning. If you would turn from your sin to trust Christ as Savior, he'll save you and he'll forgive you of your sins. When they do that, their spirits, those 20 years are gone. But he said, it's enough. The gospel of Jesus Christ is enough. He said, I will go and see my son Joseph before he die. That's what every person in the world needs. They need to know that Jesus is alive, that he's Lord, that he has provision. There is salvation in Jesus Christ, no other name. But they must go to Jesus. Or as we say in Arkansas, they need to have a come to Jesus. They need to come to Jesus. Trust Jesus Christ as their Savior before they die. And God wants that to happen. So what has he done? He's given us a mission to carry out the gospel. Carry the gospel to the world. And he says to us, see that ye fall not out by the way. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to pray this morning and then ask Pastor to come. We're easily distracted. We're reminded not to fall out by the way. The message is too important. People need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless what we've brought this morning. Father, that you would do what we cannot do, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would challenge us. Father, just a frail vessel this morning. Just as Joseph's brothers were flawed men, I am a flawed man. And Father, I ask you to do what only you can do. Would you move in our midst this morning? And we ask this in Jesus' name.